The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Thank you for finding the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. This episode includes, as always, the latest UK radio news and David Lloyd's radio moments, but the bulk of the show is a revised and slightly improved version of our report from last week's ARIAs. Stu Clarkson was backstage throughout the proceedings. I was in the VIP area afterwards, and we talked to as many of the winners as we could, including two celebrating controllers, Jonathan Wall from 5 Live and Ben Cooper from 1 and 1 Extra, and Rachel Burden and George Riley from 5 Live Breakfast, Ian Lee and Flippin' Kath from Talk Radio, Tony Morey from Bauer, Christian O'Connell from Absolute, Andrew Flintoff and Robbie Savage and Stephen Nolan from 5 Live, Giles Peterson from Worldwide FM, Vanessa Feltz from BBC London and Dotty from 1 Extra. But first, to the Len Goodman of the ARIAs 2017. Phil Riley, Chair of Judges. How do you think it went?
I thought it was excellent. Really enjoyable evening. Great presentation. Super winners. The overall atmosphere was very positive and supportive of the radio industry. So, yeah, great for year two of the ARIAs.
Good number of entries, you kept saying, and yet the same names kept coming up, which suggested that maybe there weren't that many, or at least there wasn't that diversity.
No, I think where we ended up was that some entries, really strong entries, were placed in multiple categories, and if you've got an outstanding piece of audio, each category had different judges, so a different set of judges would hear the same outstanding piece of audio and go, that's got to be nominated. So you had, I mean, Edith Bowman I felt very sorry for, because she obviously had some outstanding audio. It got entered into three categories, it got nominated in all three categories, but something else beat it every time. So, you know, I feel really for Edith, because she's the bridesmaid, not the bride, this evening. I'm sure she'll win in the future. So I think maybe as chair of judges, I need to go away with the Academy and just think about whether we need to think again about how we let particular bits of audio enter multiple categories in order to let more entries filter through. But that's a minutiae bit of, you know, digging in the weeds for me and the other guys to think about.
What's your advice to people who are thinking of putting in an entry, though? What do they have to concentrate on?
I think you just need to make the audio outstanding for a judge. You want something that's just going to grab them, and if it grabs them, it will get great scores. And you could see from some of that audio, the Key 103 audio, for example, and the Flintoff, Freddie Flintoff and the ping pong guy, those were clearly two of the outstanding bits of audio that had multiple nominations and, you know, both won multiple awards, that there was something about that that obviously just captured people. So it's being able to capture somebody with that compelling bit of audio is the key.
It felt like a really successful evening. Have the ARIAs arrived at where the Sonys were?
I think they're different to the Sonys, and I'm pleased that they're different, because I don't think you can repeat what that was. That was a different time. It felt to me like a very healthy mix between the best of the Sonys, the best of the Arkivas, and maybe a bit more as well. And so I think actually if we can keep what was good about tonight and maybe polish some of the things that didn't go quite so well and improve some of the bits, I think we'll have a set of awards that are going to really go from strength to strength. But it felt to me like a very enjoyable evening for everybody. The winners were undoubtedly thrilled with their gongs, and that's, at the end of the day, you want to have a set of awards that people think, I really want to win that. And I hope next year the people who enter think, I really want to win an ARIA.
Can we get the biggest commercial radio company to take part?
I'm ever hopeful that the openness with how we approach the awards and the way that we have deliberately set out to make sure that every sector of the industry is represented at the nomination level. And there were one or two awards that were very dominant by the BBC, but pretty much every award had a very good reflection of non-BBC as well as BBC. I would hope that that message over time might get through to every sector of the commercial industry, and that they will all come back and say, yes, we want to be part of this.
Thank you, Phil. Well done.
Thank you.
John O'Wall, lots of credits from the stage, but you didn't stand up on it. Why was that?
It wasn't really about me tonight, to be honest. I'm really proud.
You were the big winners.
Well, we won six awards, but you know, if we'd have won the Station of the Year, you'd have seen me, but that would have been an icing on the cake. But you know, I think, Trevor, to win for breaking news, breakfast and sport in particular, I mean, they're the core business, as you know, for us. So that means a lot. I think people wrote us off when we moved to Salford in 2012. People wrote me off when we lost some presenters in 2014. We had to read in the Media Guardian that we were going online only. We had to read in the press that we were merging with local radio. So, you know, I can sit quietly in the background on nights like this and just look at six gold awards.
When you come to think about what to put on air rather than on podcast, what makes a radio show rather than a podcast for you?
I think it's a podcast primarily, Flintoff. I think it was designed to be, and I'll tell you a story about it. On the second week of the show, I slightly over-edited it, and Freddie had a row with me, and Freddie was right, and I was wrong, because what was I trying to do? I was probably overdoing
it. You were turning it into a radio show.
I was overdoing it on Taste and Decency, maybe, and I said to them, you know, we started out that it needs to be about 50 minutes. We've done the audience research, 50 minutes. And you know what? They record what they record. It's 1 hour 15, it's 1 hour 20, it's whatever. And then we make a lovely edit that goes on air. So in a way, we've tried to change that way around. And I'm proud of it, because I think it's the most exciting new sports show we've done in 10 years. It's hard to innovate to that level. And that's why I'm so excited about what the guys have done, because it feels that fresh.
Are you thinking, as a channel controller for the BBC, as much now about online on-demand radio as you are about linear stuff, which is really at the heart of what 5 Live used to be about?
I'm thinking about 20 and 30-somethings who I have to try much harder to get in loads of different ways. And that sounds a bit corny to say that, but it's not as simple then as just doing better at pods or doing better at short form. But there are 2.5 million people, mostly under 30, who listen to podcasts, who don't listen to 5 Live, local radio or Radio 4. And they're there to be won, and it's going to grow. Because I've seen, I was over in New York last week, I was meeting Panoply, I was meeting Gimlet, I was there for Bob Shannon, and we're going to partner with those people, and we're going to be world-class at podcasts, and it's going to happen in the next 2 years, mark my words, because we're not world-class at the moment. That's what we were doing in America. So it's great to see that podcast that we've done get recognised, but it's only the start of something.
Well done, Jono, and congratulations. It was a fantastic event, wasn't it?
Yeah, really. I thought it was really slick. I thought it was a real build on last year, had a bit more energy about it. And look, it's hard. We had such fun, didn't we, at the Grosvenor, and it was quite a posh event, but it's a new era, different kind of event, but there was hundreds and hundreds of people. There was a lovely entertainment vibe to it. So well done, everyone involved in it. Fantastic.
Ben Cooper, congratulations. One extra, the big winner.
Oh, it's an amazing feeling. I think every one of us who listens to your podcasts, Trevor, has been at a Sony Awards or a Radio Academy Awards and sat through everyone else winning and knows that feeling of kind of going away, going, oh, maybe next year. So it is an amazing
You're
feeling.
Holding the award.
I know. And do you know what, Trevor? For someone who has given their life to radio and listened to radio since I think my parents gave me a radio when I was 8 years old, to actually be getting Station of the Year means so much. And it's been a hell of a journey for One Extra, you know, from Radio X to a 500,000 station, and then growing to 1 million station, and this year celebrating 15 years of being on the air. They've got an amazing amount of swagger.
How do you, as the controller of both of them, work out what's a Radio 1 show and what's a Radio 1 Extra show?
I think it's about the attitude of the presenter, the music that they love. You know, you look to see whether they've got that connection with the audience. You know, One Extra is brilliant at listening to its audience. It kind of reverts the Reithian values. You know, our audience inform us about what they want to talk about. They educate us about the issues that they care about in society, and they certainly entertain us when they come on the air. And I think that's the beauty of One Extra. It's so good at reflecting back to its audience what's happening in society. And that, I hope, is why the judges wanted it to be National Station of the Year.
I was wondering if the success of One Extra and Six Music and the 5 Live podcast suggests a direction of travel for the BBC, which is that it is going to be, in the end, about niches rather than doing broadcasting as we grew up with.
So I think it's both of those things, Trevor. I think, yes, you will find niche audiences and you'll find small communities that really gather around that podcast or that digital station. But you know what? I think in the digital age, there is something really important about a national radio station reflecting the whole of society. It's that kind of village pump. Yes, you can go off and on social media, you can find people who agree with you. But actually finding that zeitgeist of what is happening in the whole of the country, I think becomes even more important in the digital age.
Well, congratulations, and Arias 2.0 wasn't bad, was it?
Do you know what? It's been quite a journey for the Radio Academy, as you well know, and you've well documented on your podcast. But I'm so proud of Roger and of Chris and the whole of the team at the Radio Academy, because it has been difficult at times, but you know what? We believe in this industry and we believe that radio is not dying. Radio is alive and kicking and it is here to stay. So I'm really pleased that the Radio Academy have put on such an amazing evening tonight.
Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
I'm with Rachel Burden, best speech presenter, breakfast at the Arias.
I was going to say best speech so far on the night. I think I'll take that.
Well, in the press room here, we haven't got any sound. We just get the pictures. So tell us what you said.
It was brilliant. I think I just said, all I thought was, I've got to remember to thank all the people I ought to thank, which your conscience is really dull for everyone else out there. But it's so important because, you know, we are just part of a team that works really, really hard. So that was the only thing I was thinking about. It was a very dull speech, basically, is what I'm saying. But it's meaningful to the people for whom, you know, were part of all of this.
And what do you think it is that sets you apart from those other speech breakfast shows?
Oh, God, I don't know. I wouldn't want to make the distinction that, you know,
Lack of preparation is key, I think. Inability to speak in the morning, lack of preparation.
Wiley is probably what sets us apart, to be honest. I imagine all the agents will be scouting for him a little bit later on this evening. You know, we have fun. We have a lot of fun.
And I guess it's been a busy news year, which is part of your entry for this award tonight.
Yeah, and you know, it is always busy. Every year is a busy news year. You know, we've been over to America for the American elections this year, and then there have been awful events as well, both in, you know, in this country and beyond. So, and that is very much part of our DNA and what we do, and we're proud that we do it, although we'd rather we weren't doing it. So, yeah, it's been a busy year.
And how was that feeling when the name of the show was read out and you had to get up in front of your peers on stage?
Relief.
She said, about blooming time.
To be honest, I've come second so many times, I thought it would never happen, so I was just relieved.
Ian Lee is here, the best speech presenter this year at the Arias.
Yes, non-breakfast. And Catherine Boyle, who is the co-presenter, and I couldn't do the show without her as producer as well. She doesn't get the full credit. Let's not get carried away, for goodness sakes, but she gets 50% of the credit. Yeah, I'm thrilled. We won. That's amazing. People like me don't win.
For like you. This is a whole show of content, isn't it, now, to talk about this?
God, no, here's the thing. I won't mention it at all, and they will tease it out of me. I'm not going to bang on about this. But this, I have won a couple of other awards, and they're both in my children's bedrooms, so this will go nice in my eldest's room. But this is, no, I'm honestly thrilled. Kath and I do this silly throwaway show that some people think is childish and think is worthless. And you know, we're trying to create something that's fun and unique and celebratory and is embracing, and this is some sort of validation. So it's great.
And it does go off on a lot of tangents. I was listening early last night. You were talking about Leeds, you were talking about the armories, and then you went off with some random discussion about camels and where water comes from.
Oh.
You know, how do you get from one subject to
what
another?
What were we saying about camels?
Could you use them like a boiled egg and
You cut their hump off and stick a straw in? Oh, it's
the guy said you go for the jugular, put a straw in and suck the blood out, yeah?
Well, it's just, here's the thing, right? I think late night radio in particular it should be free to kind of, you follow your thoughts. And here's the thing, sometimes it doesn't always work, you know. Sometimes we're firing off in different directions and we don't always get it. But the nights that we do get it, I think we you know, people seem to think that we're doing something special, which is very, very pleasing.
And all your jibes at the industry, they're just a bit of fun, aren't they?
Oh, God, no, I hate all of you guys. No, of course. Hey, listen, I've been lucky enough that I've made my living, I've fed my children, I've paid my mortgage because I work for the radio industry. And, you know, and I love it. Of course I love it. It's the best job in the world. I get to show off for 3 hours a night, five nights a week. Fantastic. Wonderful.
Well done, guys.
Thank you very much.
I'm here with Stephen Nolan. Best news coverage for your coverage the night of the London Bridge attacks. How does that feel to win an award for that?
Well, it's always special to win an award like this because, you know, you're competing against the very best in the UK. But let's remember what the event was. The event was tragedy. And so I'm just aware of that tonight, that, you know, what we were covering at the end of the day was people dying and people getting injured. But the fantastic thing about Five Live, and it's where the media is going, some of our best correspondents were the actual people on the ground, and just listening to them. Your heart beats a little bit faster when you've got that magnitude of a story, because you've got to get it right, and the tendency is just to maybe race a little bit too hard. So it's about standing back and just waiting until you definitely know in an event like that what's happening.
And how important is that backroom team who are getting the callers on air and kind of being the eyes and the ears?
The quietly slushy thing to say is, isn't the team important? But when you have, it's about trust. When you have, you won't trust everybody in a team, but when you have a couple of people who you really, really trust on a night like that, it's really easy to present. And it's about, you can actually tell just by looking at each other what you're going to do next or not. And I'm just gifted that I have great people. You know, Philo Holland has been with me for a decade now. And when there's a big event like that, he knows what he's doing. Phil, the editor, he trusts me and I trust him. And I guess it goes right back up to the controller. You know, if you kind of know on those things that the controller has confidence in you, then how can you not do it right, you know?
And it's been a big year of news. It's been a big year for you. You've won a few other awards as well.
Yeah, I have. There was a big story, the Renewable Heat Incentive Scheme in Northern Ireland, and I had a former government minister calling down to my house to say, I want to now talk about the party that he was in. And then we had secret government files landed at my door. And that's just old-fashioned journalism, where we took out a room in the BBC and we slept overnight for weeks and weeks and weeks, getting down into the detail, because every way you moved in that story, it was going to be legal or legal consequences out of it. But I would say this, that I think that kind of in-depth journalism is being left too much to television now, and I think there's a real place on radio for that type of investigative in-depth journalism, and radio stations do it a lot more.
And we know how much you love radio. You've been quite honest this year about your pay and how, yeah, your journey into the BBC.
Well, I didn't have any choice, to be honest, about my pay, because it was published. So you've been a bit kind there. Yeah.
But in the way that you reacted to that story, and obviously then you're kind of opening your heart about your struggle to get into the BBC, and it meant a lot to you to be able to say that on the air.
Yeah, no, big time. Look, in terms of my pay, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know, am I worth, or is any radio presenter worth more than nurses or doctors and that usual question that's asked? Of course not. They're worth many multiples of what I would get. But you know what the funny thing is about the pay? The public supported me. There wasn't a kickback.
And you can get a pay rise now. You've won another award.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing pay up, you dirty rat.
I'm with Michael Carr, the editor of Five Live Sports, and Ellie Aldroyd, one of its many presenters. You've just won the best sports show at the Arias. How does that feel, Ellie?
Oh, it feels absolutely fantastic. I'm really, really proud of the whole team. I'm proud of my fellow presenters as well. And I'm proud of this man who takes risks on us sometimes. He's got an incredible eye for what makes great radio. So you can go to him with ideas and say, we want to do this, and it might be something completely off the wall, totally different. So, for example, I did a programme about euthanasia recently, which was not something you would ever expect to hear on a sports programme. But he said yes, and it's one of the best experiences of my life. So, yeah, I feel very lucky to be working for this programme.
So much sport to pick from, so much airtime to fill. How do you do it, Michael?
Well, how do we do it? We do it with brilliant producers and brilliant commentators and brilliant presenters. And the best thing about the show is that everybody cares deeply about the broadcast and about the output and about the standards that we set, and that's the main thing. Everybody cares so much that they work so hard for that, and everything that we do in terms of the linear radio, in terms of social media and podcasts, and everything that's being asked of us all the time to keep the program moving forward, they work so hard and they are so creative. So just really proud of them all.
What do you think the standout moments of your entry were?
Well, Rio was an incredible experience. I mean, the live events that we do, I mean, Ellie was working on there as our main presenter, and just trying to encapsulate all those magic moments, but all the stuff in between and all the incredible broadcasts and seeing everybody in Rio, but also in Salford, working flat out all the time, 12, 14, 16 hours a day to get it done because they care about the standards. That was probably the highlight. But day to day, it's just, it's not those big moments. To me, it's about the day to day stuff and how we set those standards every day, not just for the Rio, not just for the World Cup, but for every show we do.
And standing on the beach, on Copacabana Beach, did you think you'd be then on stage in Leeds picking up an award for that coverage?
Do you know, the thought didn't particularly cross my mind at that moment, Stuart, it would be fair to say. But no, I mean, you know, you don't do it for the awards. I mean, it's cliche, but you do it for the love of what you do. And for me to be able to cover live sport all the time, to be in Rio, you know, so to be in the velodrome when Laura Kenny was winning another gold medal, or to be at the gymnastics when Max Whitlock was winning the double in, the first ever British Olympic gold medalist in gymnastics, was such a fantastic thing. And I'm just really, really delighted that the Academy has given us this lovely award.
Congratulations, guys.
Thanks, Stuart.
Two awards for Key 103 tonight for their coverage of the Manchester Bomb, best coverage of an event, and another one that you've just won as well. Tell us what you've got in your hand.
This is for the Community Award. I think, as I sort of said, really, is that it's really lovely to be recognised, but it would be nice to be recognised for something that wasn't so tragic. You know, obviously we're a music radio station, and to be recognised for these two awards for how we reflected how Manchester felt after those sort of terrible attacks back in May is just absolutely sort of fantastic. So I just want to sort of praise the team, our news team, Michelle, and all the presenters on air, Gemma, Matt and Mike, Debbie, Adam, Daryl, that really worked really hard to reflect that sort of tragic night, and basically, you know, a lot of people didn't sleep for a lot of days as we sort of all pulled together to sort of reflect that.
And as you say, it wasn't just the night itself, it was the days and weeks that followed.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, it's always very difficult to really know how to portray that, because, you know, most of the time we're about fun and music and laughter, and I think, you know, what we took our cues from was what the audience were feeling. And, you know, some days they were angry, so we reflected that angry. Some day they were sad, so we reflected that sadness. Some days they wanted to celebrate Manchester, and we reflected that way. And I think there was many poignant moments from, you know, from the One Love concert that we covered, to the, actually straight after this was the Great Manchester Run as well, which we were also covering, and then actually Gemma, Matt and Mike went down to the flower tribute one morning in St Anne's Square, and that was truly magical. So I think what we really tried to do was reflect what Manchester was feeling, and Manchester's a really different place since then, you know, much stronger sort of community and spirit, and we've all pulled together, and I'm really sort of proud of how the team came together to do that.
I'm with Tony Morey, who's just been voted, and it is voted, individual year in the radio industry by members of the Radio Academy. That's quite an honour, isn't it?
It is an honour. It's a huge honour, actually. I feel very, very privileged, because I'm just doing a job I love, and a job I've loved since I first walked into Piccadilly Radio in 1990, when I was doing my GCSEs during the week. And I love the job every bit as much now. So to be given this, and given this by like my peers, is very special.
What do you think sets you out from those other people who were nominated for this? They're all great people, you're going to say that, obviously. But come on, let's be big-headed about it.
I can't be big-headed. Literally, any one of those could have been a winner. And any one of those should have been a winner, actually. So nothing sets me apart. Apart from maybe I've got a bit more of a rabble-rousing bunch of colleagues that got the votes in.
And how do you better this next year? What do you do in the next 12 months?
Oh, my God, I don't know. I'll have to think what else we can do. You know, maybe I'm speechless.
Congratulations, Tony.
Thank you very much.
UKRD's Deputy Group Content Director is Mr. PG, Peter Gordon, from Eagle, and you've just been named Team of the Year for Local Radio Day. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, we are genuinely surprised. I mean, there were some amazing teams in that category, amazing stuff. So I'll be absolutely honest with you, it was lovely to be in the list, but that we thought that was pretty good, and it would be nice to have seen UKRD up on the screen and things like that. To win is really something else, extraordinary. We're delighted, obviously, for people that voted. And it is great from a local radio point of view, obviously, that the local radio is still very much around. It's still important for the communities it serves. And we still try to do it in the way that we know best in the 21st century, which is some of the things that we've learned over the years about serving those communities, but also in a modern way. So it's about radio, it's obviously about online, it's about a lot of communication with the people that rely on you. And if you keep focusing on that and keep doing that, then it gets better and better as time goes by. But it's just been amazing to have got the award.
And a big project to pull together, so people at stations all over the country involved.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's more than 80 stations for this year. So, you know, that was up on the first year we did it last year. And that's great as well, you know, because that's the other thing, is that it wasn't just commercial radio. There was community radio, there was BBC involved, there was the prison radio guys involved as well. That's what we really liked, was right across the board. So whilst it came out of UK Ideas, an original idea, what I thought was so lovely was just the way the other guys that got involved embraced it, because it was something for them as well. So well done to them and everyone that got involved. And, you know, here's to 2018.
So whenever I come to awards, dudes, I always happen to bump into this guy. And he's won another two tonight, Christian O'Connell from Absolute Radio, Best Branded Content and Best Music Breakfast Show. Again.
Why say again? I get up at 4 a.m. Come on, man. Don't be like that. Where's the love? You're a radio fan. Do you know what? Any of those shows in that category, ADOT to Grimmie, maybe not Grimmie, Evans definitely, they have their own merits and different reasons why they do the show for their audience. So it's actually a really tough kind of thing to choose from. But actually, you know what? They made the right decision.
The breakfast landscape's changing a bit. We're getting more and more stations. You've got Virgin Radio back on now. How do you keep getting better to keep beating them to the awards?
Well, it's about beating them to the awards. It's like the more competition.
And the listeners.
It's not just the competition. You know, Sam and Amy are really great. I'm glad they're on Virgin. It makes you want to work harder. When Moyles came back on Breakfast, it made me want to work harder. Same with Evans came back. You know, you only get to be the best you are by going up against the best people. And so listeners have choice. I respect that, and I want that when I listen to the radio as well. And actually, you know what? It's changed so much. You said about the landscape changing. It's not just other breakfast shows at the competition. It's Facebook. You know, it's Twitter. It's stuff like that. So you have to try and work even harder at your content. But what I love is the fact that despite all these kind of other rival medias now, social media, online media in the morning, just watching clips on your phone, whatever, it's that actually radio is still really important. And I still think it's a really privileged job to do what I do, be someone's friend in the morning, whether that's me or Grimmie or Evans. I still think it's a really special time to do radio in the morning. And I love that. The emails I get from listeners who are going through a tough time, and they lean on the show sometimes, and they don't realise this. Sometimes I'm going through a tough time, and I lean on them as well. And that's what radio means to me. I just love that connection, and I'm very lucky to do what I do. The award tonight is just a small icing on the cake. And I don't mean that glibly. I mean that I love what I'm doing.
And every month we're reporting on Radio Today about Bauer stealing somebody from Global, whether it's Dave Masterman, Dave Berry.
All the Daves.
All the Daves. Anybody else in Leicester Square you got your eye on?
I think we've got all the Daves at the moment. But you know what? You know, they also steal people from the other way as well. But I can't comment, so don't push me on that one. That's a naughty question.
Where do you go next with your show? What happens to it? How does it change?
Well, it has to change every day, you know, and we're off tomorrow, but we're back Tuesday. And
Hang on. You've got the day off. Every time I talk to you at awards, you've never got the morning off.
No, I know, but because this one's in Leeds, and it's quite a long trip.
Well, there's Radio Air. You could do the show
from
Radio
Air. Hey, come on now. I know it's a bad station. Don't be like that, or they'll make me go on air. No, I wanted to be able to relax with the team and have a good night, no matter what happened. And so I don't have to get up at 4 a.m. and worry about the show. So it's nice to have a night off tonight.
So 2 more awards to take home. Where are these ones going? You've not got space in your house.
No, it's not that. I don't. There is no shelf. You'd be really surprised. I'll give this one. That Richie's got this one, and he deserves it as much as I do. So he'll take this one. So the question goes, so where does he keep it?
I'm in Leeds with a Lancastrian and a Welshman, and we now know the answer to the pub quiz question. Who was the last to score a hat-trick? Was it Robbie or was it Freddie? Because Freddie's won 3 awards at the Arias. 3 awards.
I can't get my head around it, really, because when we started this podcast, obviously you don't start off to win awards. You know, I wanted to do something with my mate, Robbie, and Matthew joined in. And for us, the winning was doing it. But then, as it's evolved, it's become something we're really protective over and something we're really proud of. And you mentioned 3 awards. For me, the important 2 are the team ones, not the individual new presenter, because I don't really present. I just talk to my mates. And to get that, and Robbie will play it down in a minute, and he'll talk about his football career and play everything down that he does. Amazing footballer, but the one thing in the podcast, he's the driver. He drives it. He's the one sending a message all the time. What's your subjects? What we're doing? Always talking about it. Always want to improve it. So I'll pass you on to him, but do not let him play himself down here.
I Robbie, have you been surprised how popular the podcast's been? Because it has been number one in the charts most weeks.
Yeah, you know, not that I look at the five-star 2,166 reviews.
It's 1,900 of them.
You know, because I'm right. You know, I want to. You know, I don't want to. You know, stay where we are. I want to improve. We want to improve, and already we've got the topics for this Sunday, which is going to be wedding days, best man speeches. You know, we could. Yeah, it is. Yeah, see, and I'm sure Fred will have great stories. Exactly, that's what we want to hear.
You could throw some award acceptance speeches into it.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly.
Shockers.
It's just amazing, as I say. You know, you need a chance. Jonathan Wall at Radio 5 Live, give us the opportunity. He's seen something in me 7 years ago, and now he's seen something in Freddie. And for Freddie to win Best New Presenter is great. I know it. You need a chance. And now, you know, to be here with your best pal winning awards is amazing.
Want to do more radio? You're doing this podcast at the moment. Do you see yourself, like Robbie, doing a weekly show?
I'd love to, but I'd love to do it with him. You know, we do the podcast each week. I think we've got another 20-week run or so, split over probably two more series. But, yeah, of course you do. You know, I don't know if it's the sporting background or something, but you always want to strive to improve and you always want to get better. And I know, speak for Robbie on this, and Matthew, who is an amazing ping-pong player. And he wants to get better. We want to push this podcast. We want to get it better and better and better. Because most importantly, we love doing it.
And quick word on the great night for 5 Live. 6 gold awards tonight.
Amazing. You know, 6 gold awards. Jonathan Wall, Richard, Heidi. You know, everybody at 5 Live. All of them. When you go in there, it's a great atmosphere. You know, they give you an opportunity. But 6 goals for 5 Live is just amazing. Well done to Jonathan Wall and the team.
And with Giles Peterson, who's just won an ARIA Gold Award for his online station, which only launched about a year ago, is that
yeah,
right?
We've been going for just over a year, and I didn't think it was going to be a daily job, but it's great, and we've put a lot of work in, and it's amazing, so I'm really glad to win this tonight.
And tell us where it started, because it came out of Grand Theft Auto, did it?
Yeah, well, I've always been a bit of a radio geek, as you know, probably from all the radio I've done, from pirate days back in the day to now being on 6 Music. And then they asked me to do a special channel on the last GTA game, which is called Worldwide FM, and suddenly I discovered a whole new audience, and loads of people were listening to it, even my kids were checking me out. And so I thought, well, I might as well make this a living, you know, just turn it into something that's really a lot more sort of, you know, long-lasting. So it's been amazing, and I don't know where the future's going to take us, but it's great fun.
And how's the change from kind of DJ to almost entrepreneur? I mean, you've been involved with record labels and things in the past, but running your own radio station?
Well, it's
a learning curve.
Yeah, it is. All of it's a learning curve. I mean, you know, but I had my own pirate radio stations back in the day, so in a way it's just the sort of, you know, the legal version of that. So it's brilliant, you know, and it's just, as I said in my talk just now, it's like, it's just great to be able to hear and pick DJs just like I'd normally pick music. So I've suddenly just got to that next level, but it's really a lot of fun.
Congratulations, Giles.
Thank you very much.
I'm with David Roby, who's the managing editor at BBC London, the 2017 ARIA's local station of the year. That's quite impressive for you, isn't it?
It's quite amazing. Like I said, I'm seriously shocked. I mean, it has been one of those years where you thought you did programming which is worthy of any award, but you just never know. I mean, it's quite a depressing year. But that, as I said up there, the uplift of how London reacted and how some of our programmes like, you know, Robert Elms and Joe Good, the non-news programmes, how they reacted and got that spirit day after day, week after week. I mean, from the end of March through to middle of June, it was non-stop disaster. But there was a great spirit about London.
And your breakfast presenter's here as well, Vanessa's here.
Oh, hello, thank goodness we're here. My God, imagine if we hadn't come, it would have been tragic. We are so thrilled, we are so pleased.
What excites you every morning when you get up to do that show? Well, you're obviously doing a show before it, but
it's
when you
really,
do the other show as well.
I suppose it's the challenge of doing something very different every single day in the most vibrant city in the world. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to break literally while you're live on air. You never know if it's going to be something, the funniest story in the world where you're laughing so hard you can barely speak, or something so sad that you're crying so hard you can barely speak. And we have, you know, huge responsibility to break big stories in a way that doesn't alarm people but does inform people and reassure reassures people, but at the same time gives the facts. You know, it's a quite serious job in many, many ways, but also the best fun you can have on Earth. I'm absolutely certain of that. So we are so thrilled and also very grateful to our listeners, because we have the best looking, sexiest, most intellectual and absolutely vibrant listeners on the planet.
I thought you were going to say presenters then.
Presenters are exquisite, but the listeners are terrific, and it's a great combination.
Do you have a big night plan now, or you're on air in the morning?
I thought we were all going to bed alone, exhausted, and that was it. But now, I don't suppose, I think we're going to hit the city that doesn't sleep, aren't we?
We're going to do the breakfast show for Radio Leeds tomorrow.
Have a great night. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
It's ADOT from the One Extra Breakfast Show. How's that feel?
This is incredible. This is the one you want to win. It's the one that celebrates everybody, rather than highlighting a specific moment or a particular show. This is the one that says, as a team, you lot did remarkably well for the year. So this is amazing, because it's one that we can all share.
And getting up and doing that breakfast show kind of makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it? You get the audience, but you get the industry recognition too.
I mean, I would do it without accolades. I would do it without awards. So to get an award on top of a job that I love doing every day is just amazing.
Roger Cotsforth, you must be really proud of this.
I am really proud, yeah. I mean, as you know, there was a lot of sceptics at the start, but and this year was a bit like the difficult second album, Trevor, because no one had any expectations last year, but we knew that they would have this year, so I was just delighted that we could raise the bar again, and I feel that we did that.
What was the highlight of the event for you? I mean, obviously Busted doing Year 3000, but yeah. You know, what else?
Well, I looked around at the end and I saw everyone dancing to Busted doing Year 3000. I thought, wow, that was a great moment. But I've got to be honest, I think the moment that captured all for me was seeing the 30 under 30 on the stage, and to give them their moment in front of everybody and the whole industry there at what is the biggest event, I thought that was special for me.
I asked Phil earlier about, you know, the elephant in the room, the fact that Global are not here.
Yeah.
Do you think they might be coming? You must be still having conversations with them, Rod.
Still having conversations, and it's difficult. I don't know. I speak to a lot of the staff who would love to come. I'd love to be a part of this, and I hope that they would. I think we've changed it significantly from what used to be the old Radio Academy Awards with Sony's
taken on the Archivers mantle as well, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we have, yeah. So I'm hoping that they'll be part of it, and it'd be great to see them. As someone that's an ex-Globaler and so many friends, and to have them there tonight would have been a wonderful thing. And I respect Ashley enormously, and Stephen and Richard, and if they were to change their mind, there'd be nobody happier than me.
I felt for you today. I once, when I was in your job, I brought the old radio festival to Nottingham.
Yeah.
And it didn't work very well. That was my hometown.
Yeah.
And here you are bringing the ARIAs to Leeds. That must give you an extra feeling of pride.
It does. I mean, I have to be careful because I'm a Hull boy, so any of my mates that are listening, they would be thinking, oh, what's he talking about Leeds for? But just to take
it's all Yorkshire,
it, take it out of London. And to be here, and Leeds have been such a great host city. This is a wonderful venue, and it does give me a great deal of pride, and I don't have to buy a hotel room.
Roger, well done.
Thank you very much.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
Well, that was Leeds last week. Let's find out this week's news. Here's Stu again.
Thank you, Trevor. BBC Radio 5 Live was the big winner at the 2017 ARIAs, winning 6 gold awards in total, including 3 for Andrew Flintoff. He won Best New Presenter and also Best New Show and Best Podcast for Flintoff, Savage and The Ping Pong Guy. One Extra was named National Station of the Year, with BBC Radio London picking up Local Station of the Year. Absolute Radio won 4 golds, including 2 for Christian O'Connell. You can see the full list of winners at radiotoday.co.uk. Politicians Jacob Rees-Mogg and Chuka Omunnia have been guest hosting on LBC this week while James O'Brien's on holiday. They covered Monday and Tuesday shows 10 till 1. Community station TCRFM in Tamworth has appealed to local businesses to help keep it on air. This week, the station said it was shutting down after 8 years on the air, but then didn't close and has now announced a new sound will be coming to its frequency soon. A new event's been announced aimed at broadcasters looking to broaden their options. Work Beyond Radio has been organised by presenter Ed Nell. He says it's for presenters, producers and journalists to give them ideas on how to enhance an existing career outside of radio or to create a new one. It's happening in Manchester on the 25th of November. And the first speakers have been announced for Radio Days Europe 2018, which is taking place in Vienna next March. BBC Director of Radio Music Bob Shannon will be among those appearing at the event. There's more online at radiotoday.co.uk.
Cheers, Stuart. David Lloyd's Radio Moments to come.
Broadcast Bionics brings you Phone Box, Oasis, Virtual Director, and many more innovative solutions for creative radio people. Come to bionics.co.uk and find out more.
This year sees the 50th anniversary of BBC Local Radio, and in its early years the network was famous for its communicators who truly owned their markets. One of those individuals died this week, 14 years ago.
This is Radio Sheffield. You've just been told that, so shut up, I'm not going to tell you for another 5 minutes. This is from 4 Birchwood Grove at Westfield. This is our grandson, David Howden, of 4 Colbeck Place, North Anston. He's 7 today. Would you play for him The Lion Sleeps Tonight with Our Love and Opie as a lovely party from Mama, Grandad, Uncle Victor? Thanks for past requests. That's from Mrs. Winnie Britton. Oh, a touch of it, not so much indigestion. What happened, you see, is that just before I played the record, so they came up, said, I'll have a bacon sandwich and a cup of tea. And I put my order in, then they came up and said, I'll never forget that first day at Pitt. Me and my father worked a 72-hour shift and then we walked home 43 miles through snow in a...
Tony Capstick, who'd been on BBC Radio Sheffield for over 30 years, and you heard, too, his 1981 hit song, too, Capstick Comes Home. Tony died this week in 2003. Fluff Freeman was one of radio's true greats, and it was this week, 24 years ago, he handed over the reins of his Radio 1 Saturday rock show. He was 66.
I think we'll do it. And our thanks to the wondrous Johnny Walker and guest guitarist John Hammond, John Hyatt and Ian Moore. Don't forget, it's in concert introduced by Bob Harris at 7.30. Andy Kershaw follows at 9 o'clock. And along comes the indomitable John Peel at 11. And at the Saturday Rock Show, the archives will yield one of its greatest treasures from all of 22 years ago and just one album request tonight. And that comes from Focus, right? Actually, the archives will produce the quite mighty Led Zeppelin in concert at the BBC Paris Studios in April 1971. The concert that almost didn't happen and will encounter Conception, a new album from Rush, Joe Satriano, Dio, Neil Young, Sepultura and AC/DC.
Could listen to that all day. Alan Freeman's final Radio 1 rock show this week in 93. It's 13 years this week since we lost John Peel.
5 minutes after 12 midnight anyway, and we have a brand new LP that I got today in the mail, and it's by the Incredible String Band. And the Incredible String Band, of course, what's that noises in the background? The Incredible String Band consists of Mike Heron and Robin.
The Radio 1 session consists of 4 numbers recorded in a BBC studio in about half a day. Bands often claim that it's a huge honour to be booked. We usually get somewhere between 15 and 20 minutes of pretty neat stuff. We've had astonishingly few really poor sessions over the years, lists sent upon application, with a feel somewhere between a live concert and a studio recording.
Get off! I'm sorry, but I am getting a bit fed up with hearing that record just because it was the first record on the first programme on Radio 1 on Saturday, September the 30th, 1967. I suppose it was picked because it was the highest climber at number 3 that week.
He'd have loved the 50th anniversary celebrations, wouldn't he? Farewell, John Peel, this week in 2004. Authentic before authenticity was in. Some stations come on air as if they've always been there. Others start with the plummy tones of a delighted chairman. And others hold your hand and lead you through the schedule.
I'd like to introduce you to the people who are going to be serving you and entertaining you here on Radio West. And first of all, in the morning, it's Nino.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, it's me, Nino. And you can join me every weekday morning on Radio West from 6 o'clock until 9:30. Now, there's lots of silly competitions, morning teasers, crosswords, as well as Watson's, marine reports, all that, plus up-to-the-minute traffic reports, local and national news, and the very best in music. It all happens every weekday morning, Monday to Friday, with me, Nino, on Radio West. And then at 9:30...
It's me, John Hayes, and I'll be with you every weekday until 1 p.m. Here's some of the regular features on the morning show. At 10:05, it's five favourites chosen by you. The advice spot at 10:30 and our VIP interview just after the 11 o'clock news. Don't forget our special job finder service at 11:30.
The launch of Radio West in Bristol. I've always wondered what the opposite of the very best in music is. In those days, some stations had IRN national news bulletins followed by their own news rather than mix and match.
Malcolm Brabant, IRN, Shotton.
Independent Radio News, it's 3 minutes past six.
British Aerospace in Bristol has warned staff it's running out of
I reckon the IRN microphone was a little bit more expensive than Radio West's. Day one of Radio West this week in 81. Wiltshire Radio led a merger 4 years later and GWR began. Automation's a great thing, isn't it? Apart from when the clocks go back.
Find out and I remember more taking about it home on their it on website, which is bigbigtrain.com.
Absolutely.
And that track followed.
Gone quiet, hasn't it? Well, needless to say, it shouldn't really be this quiet. I can assure you we're trying to sort things out at this end, and just as soon as we can, we'll return to our normal schedule here on BBC Radio 2.
I suspect if anyone at Radio 2 ever hears ABBA, they think they've gone off air. The clock's falling back and causing havoc this week 4 years ago. This week in 93, the big Radio 1 changes were underway under Matthew Bannister, and Simon Bates departed.
As far as we're concerned from New York, that does wrap it up. We've got one song to play. There's no particular significance other than maybe the words fit to the mood of the day. Don't forget, on Monday, Simon Mayo is here for 3.5 hours. I had a fax from someone said, what are we going to do without the Gold Now? The Gold Now will be here. What are we going to do without our tune? Well, there's the replacement for our tune, which is True Confessions. What are we going to do without the video reviews? The video reviews will be there. Nothing much changes, as I said yesterday, except for the broadcaster, who perhaps will be an improvement on Monday. Thanks for the last 16 years. We'll go out to New York with this.
Farewell, Simon Bates, from Daytime Radio 1 this week, 24 years ago. So, with commercial radio arriving in Gloucestershire 37 years ago...
Another radio station's just joined the independent local radio network. Seven Sound, broadcasting from Gloucester, became the 25th commercial station just a couple of minutes ago at 6 o'clock.
GLR, replacing Radio London 29 years ago.
Well, I do believe that people don't want constant selection of Kylie Minogue records back-to-back and just a few jolly laughs from the tabloids.
The death of Cliff Adams 16 years ago. And the Radio 4 Today programme going online 17 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
That's it from this Radio Today programme, with special acknowledgement from us to Roger Cutsforth and the Academy team for helping us to access all the contributors, and also for putting on a really polished and, I thought, worthwhile event. See you next year at that, and see you next week for another Radio Today programme. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.